Next, we're going to be hearing from Eileen Quigley and Elizabeth Wilmot of Climate Solutions. Eileen is the Director of Strategic Innovation at Climate Solutions, and she oversees the New Energy Cities Project, Sustainable Advanced Fuels, and Northwest Biocarbon Initiative. She speaks regularly and blogs about the Northwest and how it is demonstrating the pathways to a low-carbon future. She's a seasoned executive leader of for-profit and nonprofit businesses. She's a former magazine and newspaper business and politics reporter, and she's been a civic leader in the Puget Sound since moving to the East Coast since 1988. She holds a Master's of Science in Journalism from Columbia and a Bachelor's in Literature from Yale. Elizabeth Wilmot is the New Energy Cities Program Manager, working with cities in Washington and Oregon to help them meet their carbon reduction goals through innovative programs and policies. With experience at the World Bank, U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, in King County, Washington, Elizabeth brings a deep and wide background in community climate planning to New Energy Cities and their team. Elizabeth holds a double degree in biology and Chinese from Williams College and a master's in public policy from the Harvard Kennedy School. So with that, I will turn it over to Eileen and Elizabeth.
Thank you very much for this opportunity. We are really grateful for all of the effort that's gone into putting together this webcast. We learn as much as we hopefully will teach in this, so we thank you for this opportunity. This is Eileen, and I'm going to speak very briefly about the New Energy Cities Program I'm waiting for my agenda slide to come up. Okay. We're just going to talk very briefly about Climate Solutions, the New Energy Cities Program, and then Elizabeth is going to walk you through a case study on Beaverton in Beaverton, Oregon, and then we will be done. So Climate Solutions is a Northwest clean energy nonprofit organization. We've been around for 15 years, and we are working on accelerating practical and profitable solutions to global warming and focused on the Northwest as a national world leader in the clean energy economy. The New Energy Cities Program started in 2009. We work with small to medium-sized cities, and we focus on cities because cities globally are responsible for approximately 70% of all greenhouse gas emissions. So we believe that a focus on cities is highly leveraged, and we focus on cities that are under the population of 250,000 because we feel that they don't have as many resources as the larger cities. And we're very blessed because we happen to have in our region Seattle and Portland, which are national leaders in addressing climate change. So we're able to learn from them as well as many other cities throughout the country. But we focus our practice on the communities in and around, in this year and in next year, we're specifically focused on the communities that surround Seattle and surround Portland. The tenets of the program are to help communities build highly efficient buildings, wide range of renewable energy to replace fossil fuel in the utility portfolio, eco-mobility, which is a wide range of strategies around transportation, and then smart technology that ties it all together. Just put up some logos here of the communities that we've been in. So you can see we're in both counties as well as cities. Clark County, for example, Thurston County in Washington. And then most recently, we've been doing a lot of work in Issaquah out here, which is just on is sort of the gateway to the Cascades, and then also in Beaverton, which is outside of Portland. We published a study on city-led clean energy innovation two summers ago, where we looked at communities throughout the nation that were really leading in climate solutions and demonstrating the economic value of those benefits. If people are interested in that study, we can make sure that the link is available to others later. And then our approach is that we work with communities, we require the communities we work with to set aggressive but attainable greenhouse gas targets over a 20 or 30 year period. And we then do the GHG math, which is what Elizabeth will walk you through, so I won't describe number two there. And ultimately, we create what we call sustainable energy strategies to complement their local comprehensive plans. So a key goal of our program is to embed an understanding of energy in local plans and the impact of energy and climate and how important it is for regions to learn how to manage their energy needs sustainably. We then work with communities to help them figure out what the specific tactics are for the built environment, transportation, waste management, wastewater, and then, of course, carbon storage, because we also need to remove as much carbon as we possibly can from the atmosphere. And a key tenet of our program is that we are aligning our efforts with state, regional, and utility policies and programs. Thank you. This is now Elizabeth.
So this is Elizabeth Wilmot, and I appreciate this opportunity as well. We were approached by Beaverton, Oregon earlier this year to look at the opportunity that their comprehensive plan presented, which was to consider setting a very specific goal around greenhouse gas reduction. Beaverton already has an excellent green reputation regionally and nationally, and I wanted to research what it would take to achieve a greenhouse gas reduction of 80% by 2050. So we essentially took a snapshot of their current energy system in 2012, and we looked specifically at energy sources and uses, as well as greenhouse gas emissions. We collected data from the utility and from the transportation agency, and we essentially presented that data in what you may consider to be a spaghetti map, but it's actually an adaptation of a larger scale map that Lawrence Livermore has published in the past for the United States. Mayors tend to love this map because it depicts the city's energy system in a single graphic that folks can get their arms around. This next graphic we created to show the scale of necessary reductions for Beaverton relative to their potential growth. And we essentially said, okay, what would it take to achieve that 40% reduction by 2030, which is the halfway mark to their 80% by 2050 goal? And we said there are several existing state and federal laws that are already in place that will have a greenhouse gas emissions reduction. The Corporate Average Fuel Economy Standard, Oregon's Renewable Portfolio Standard, and Oregon's Clean Fuel Standard, which is currently expected to sunset in 2015, but is under consideration for extension. So we looked at the reduction that would come from full implementation of the Corporate Average Fuel Economy Standard. We looked at what the Oregon Renewable Portfolio Standard would do, and we looked at the impact of the Oregon Clean Fuel Standard. And what we concluded from this is, as you can see here, from the blue line associated with the Oregon Clean Fuel Standard, that only gets the community down to approximately stabilizing their emissions to the 2012 levels. So that remaining wedge is what's necessary for the community to mobilize on its own. So then we said, okay, what would it take for them to achieve that, to close that gap? And so what we did was estimate the greenhouse gas emissions reduction associated with targets in three areas. We lined this up specifically with Oregon Governor Kitzhaber's 10-year plan and national best practices so that it could be scalable to the state level and also that Beaverton was staying current with national best practices. And specifically, we looked in the areas that will be familiar to most climate planners across the country: transportation, energy efficiency, and renewable energy. And I want to point out a report that was really helpful to us that we were not involved in producing but has been extremely groundbreaking, I think, in distilling the best practices of climate plans from around the country, and that's called the Road to 2050, 80 by 50 Strategy Maps for Carbon Neutral Cities, and that's by Innovation Network for Communities and OH Community Partners. And that was published in March of 2013, and I think has been among the most articulate distillations of the different climate plan lessons from around the country. And so we said, okay, based upon achieving a specific transportation target associated with metro government in the Portland area, the yellow line represents what the reduction that would achieve. We then said, okay, what if Beaverton were to achieve a 25% building energy use reduction community-wide, essentially an energy efficiency goal? That's what that gray line represents. And then last but not least, if Beaverton were to achieve 40% renewable energy for electricity and heating community-wide. That combination of things, the transportation, energy efficiency, and renewable energy targets, those would essentially help Beaverton to achieve a 40% reduction by 2030. And that's not to say that these targets are at all easy to accomplish, but they do at least outline a roadmap for the community based upon what's in place already, as well as stretch goals that they may be able to mobilize to achieve. And what we found is that this is a feasibility study, not a technical feasibility study, but it does show communities, again, the roadmap of what's possible. And we've used these graphics specifically in community workshops involving local governments, utilities, chambers of commerce, and community groups, and we found them to be, both the energy map and the carbon wedge analysis, to be really galvanizing for action, and specifically because they are user-friendly. They cross divides of the utility folks who typically, I think, have a very deep technical expertise that local governments may not have, or the Chamber of Commerce comprised of business leaders who are really data-driven and want to see the bottom line and want to see the numbers on how these otherwise sometimes abstract goals will be achieved. And that's all. Look forward to our dialogue later on in the discussion, and happy to share any resources that you may find useful.
Great. Thank you, Eileen and Elizabeth. Eileen and Elizabeth's presentation definitely highlighted some really effective visuals that can be used to help communicate with a variety of audiences about what actions can be taken in the planning process, but also provide projections and estimates of what can be accomplished that could then be used in the evaluation process when looking back at what programs have achieved. So a very interesting and innovative opportunity for visualizing your data. So with that, we're going to pull up another poll question and ask folks on the line, how are you sharing your climate and energy solution stories? And ways, and by that we mean sort of the ways in which you're approaching making reductions possible in your communities. So some options here include videos and writing contests, blogs or chat rooms, storytelling sessions, or, are you doing other options like that? So please go ahead and take a minute to provide us with some information on how you're communicating the opportunities in your community. All right, we can go ahead and pull up the results of the poll. Great, so it looks like a little over half folks aren't really looking at storytelling and story sharing yet, so hopefully the presentations today will provide some great ideas of how that can be done and effective methods for communicating stories. And then about 20% or so are using live storytelling sessions, which I think we've heard through multiple channels, those messengers in a live setting can be very effective. So thanks for folks providing that information. And if anyone has any questions for Karina or Eileen or Elizabeth, please go ahead and type those in to GoToWebinar and indicate who the question's for, and we will compile those for the Q&A session at the end of the webcast.